Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text for today, I chose it, Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. I chose it for the confirmants today because it was the text that was used for my graduation from the seminary, and since it came up, I've got to do that. You're not graduating, though. You're not getting placed somewhere else. You're staying here with us, right? The sermon that I heard at my confirmation or my graduation from seminary was a unique one. As the pastor proclaimed the text, he did it in the full Southern African American style of shouting at us, as well, not just African American preachers down south do, but whites too. And it was shocking to all the very ultra-conservative Midwesterners who were sitting in the congregation that day. But yet it was a good sermon. You see, he just simply asked the question repeatedly. Son of man, can these bones live? He did it a lot louder and a lot more boisterous than I'm going to today. But you see, it's Pentecost Sunday, and we're confirming today 6 of Pilgrim's Youth, and I think this is the very first class where all of you were baptized here at Pilgrim that I've had since I've been here, because normally we have somebody transfer in midway through or something like that, but all of you have been baptized here. I've known all of you in one capacity or another your entire life. Which just makes me feel old. I was looking at your cousin over here who's becoming a giant, and I felt old really fast. Pentecost Sunday, known as the Feast of Weeks, called that because it's 7 weeks plus one day after Passover. Okay? It's one of the three great pilgrim festivals of the Jewish church year. It's called a pilgrim festival because the men were required to travel to Jerusalem for these festivals. Exodus records, 3 times in the year all your males shall appear before the Lord God. By the time Jesus had been born of the Virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate and rose again on the third day, it had become one of those that most Jewish men tried to get to once in their lifetime. Even though it said each year. And so the other two festivals that they were to travel to were Passover, and we don't celebrate Passover so much as we celebrate the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. And then in late to mid-October, they would celebrate the Festival of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles. On the Feast of Pentecost, Israelites were expected to bring in their first fruits of their grain harvest, their wheat harvest. And so it was also called the Feast of Harvest, or the Day of the First Fruits. So not to get confused when you're reading your Bible, just know that's still all Pentecost. In fact, Pentecost is an Old Testament feast that becomes co-opted by, well, what happens today in our Acts account. It's kind of overwhelming, though, as you're studying the Scriptures and you see how God wonderfully knits everything together to confess this thing. Just go back 57 days. 57 days ago, when you guys were panicking if we were ever going to get through the workbook, and I was frustrated to see if you were ever going to do a lesson in it. Our Lord Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem on a donkey. On that day, when the crowds are shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest to our Lord Jesus Christ, which is simply, save us now. They were also supposed to be looking for the lamb for sacrifice for Passover. 7 days later, we know what happens. Well, the Jewish people are sacrificing the lamb for Passover. And from all accounts, Jerusalem would be the stinkiest city I think we could ever have gone into if we had gone into it on Passover. Because from the temple streaming down the road, there used to be canals of blood from all the animals being sacrificed. Can you imagine the flies and the stench? And as that's all taking place, the Lamb of God is placed upon the altar of the cross and sacrificed for us, as He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could have life in an everlasting. Then on the day of the first ingathering, the day they brought in their barley harvest, Jesus rises from the dead. The first fruits. St. Paul puts it so well. He says, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, connecting directly to that festival. And now, here we are 50 days later from the resurrection, from the death and resurrection, and it's Pentecost. And I chose Ezekiel instead of Acts. Because whenever you think about Pentecost, you of course think about the Acts account we read, right? With the disciples and the rushing wind and the tongues of flame resting on their head and the disciples able to speak languages they don't know, or I think more importantly, people were able to hear them in languages that they did know. Right? Because here it appears that God has pushed a pause button on the curse of the Tower of Babel. Because as the disciples are speaking, everybody's hearing it in their own language at one time. It's not a UN meeting with a translator and a microphone saying, this is what he said. Right? And so while we're used to that picture of Pentecost, Ezekiel is foreshadowing that very thing. Ezekiel's Pentecost, there's no rushing wind and no tongues of flame. There was a rattling in very dry bones. As God's Spirit reconnects, restores, and renews. And it is interesting to see that the Apostle Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, does exactly what Ezekiel is doing in our text today. As he proclaims the Word of God, they both preached as instructed. And through Peter's preaching of Christ crucified and risen, the spiritually dead are raised to life. Our Ezekiel text provides us with the picture of this very act. In the Old Testament, bones, and I would guess any of us who are of any older age, who have had to deal with arthritis and other various problems with our bones, understand why in the Old Testament bones are used, well, as indicators of health and conditions of a person. Job speaks about it. Psalms speak about it. Lamentation speaks about it. And in our text, these bones are not just dry. They're very dry. They're bleached white dry. Laying on a desert floor dry. Right? God bless. They had been there a long time, separated from life for a long time. So there's absolutely no life left in them, humanly speaking. The prospects of the bones coming back to life was absolutely beyond any hope of man. We talked about this a lot during our confirmation instruction. We talked about how the things of the world often try to get in the way of the things of God and cloud them rather than enhance them. This class, among all other classes, has asked more questions about more topics that had nothing to do with the topic we were discussing than any class I've ever had, and yet I had more fun ever. Your ADD was almost as bad as my ADD. And that's why it took so long. But that's not a bad thing. because you asked the questions that were coming to your head at that time. And I want you to do that, continue to do that with your parents and your pastors. Always be willing to ask a question if you don't know the answer, right? And then if you question their answers, go to the scriptures. Go to that too and ask the question. But study. Don't stop. You're not graduating. You're not done where you can say, whew, I got a job now. I can move on from that school. You're just getting confirmed because you're confessing what your parents said about you when you were baptized is true. You're saying my mom and dad weren't liars on the day I was baptized, because they said they were going to raise you up in the Christian faith. And you're confessing today that I am that Christian they said I was going to be. And that means a poor, miserable sinner who's redeemed only by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are simultaneously a sinner and a saint. You are not perfect. No one ever thought you were, except maybe when you were first born. And upon the second diaper, we were sure you weren't. But God be praised, because you're here today, standing in front of the world. And yes, we are live streaming this for family who can't be here today, so it'll be on YouTube for them to see. But you're standing here today confessing the faith that was not something you chose. And while it may feel like it was something your mom and dad chose for you, it's not even something they chose. It's something the Holy Spirit placed in you through the hearing of God's word. Through that word joined to that water when you were baptized. And today you will come to the altar and you will receive that word joined to bread and wine that will bring you the very body and blood of Jesus Christ in with and under those elements. How? I don't have the foggiest. Jesus' words are clear. Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. I don't get to sit and try to figure out how. I just say, thanks be to God, and receive. Just like you will. This is what happened with the people at Ezekiel's time, the people of Israel. Ezekiel had to deflate their pride. He had to put down their self-conceit. That's what verse chapter 36 of his text is about. He had to overcome their reluctance to accept the gospel of restoration. Because, and Jeremiah speaks this way, he says, because the exile was deceitful and desperately sick, they did not greet the glorious promise of redemption with joy, but with the miserable lamentation of despair. Verse 11 of our text, our hope is lost, we are indeed cut off. Don't ever let the devil make you feel this way. Don't ever let your friends and family make you feel this way. And most definitely, don't ever let a pastor do it to you. You are never cut off from the grace of God. Ever. Jesus took it all the way to the tomb and out the other side, so you would never be cut off from the grace of God. People of Israel were upset. You see, they had been in captivity. They had been conquered by the Babylonians, and their religious leaders and their rulers had been taken up to Babylon, and they were there, and they were weeping and gnashing their teeth and whining and complaining, which seems to be something that, well, a lot of people like to do. Because when the Lord sends Cyrus and the Assyrians in, or not the Assyrians, the Medo-Persians in to conquer the Babylonians, they don't return home, even though they longed for it. They longed for it because apparently that's what you were supposed to say. Don't do that with your faith. Don't fake it. Confess it. And so they stayed up in Babylon, despite their freedom to return home and worship. And yet they complained. And so God sends His good shepherd to seek out those who had strayed to the desolate countries of doubt, despair, and hopelessness. So God grants His prophet Ezekiel a vision that was to convince His hearers of that day, and us as well, that their despair grew out of their refusal to believe in their Creator, who calls into existence the things that do not exist. We spent a lot of time talking about creation this year, in a good way. God's created order. God's created order for our sex, right? God's created order for His planet. All the things that are orderly and decently done by God, and how our world has turned that up on its head as it's constantly attacking those very foundations of God's good order. You'll have to join me in confessing against those false teachings. I pray you have the strength to do so. I know I've said this 1,000 times, it feels like. Confirmation Day is one of the happiest days for me as a pastor and one of the saddest days for me to pastor. Because I can walk down that hallway and I can see child after child who said what you're going to say today, that they would suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from that confession. And they didn't even return the next week. Or they returned for a few weeks and then they wandered away. And when you talk to them, they shrug their shoulders. It's almost that German joke, right? Why do Germans have short necks and flat foreheads? You ask them a question. You tell them the answer. It makes me cry. I'm going to continue to pray for you guys. And you, Abby, you're not a guy, I understand. But in the plural, I can use it that way. I had that fight in the parking lot in Milwaukee. Don't worry about it. But we can use that. We can say that. And I'm going to pray for you to be faithful unto death, because only then you will receive the crown of life. For our bones are not dried up. We have not lost hope. Because Christ has taken our death into Himself. He has forgiven you your sins. Life and an eternal is yours. And nothing this side of heaven can take that away from you. It is all gift. Just look at the text. God says to the prophet Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And he responds, "Only God knows." It's the right answer. It's almost like you guys answering every other question. Jesus, you knew you'd get close. Only God knows. And so then he says, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinew upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." Did you pay attention to the text? Who's the doer? It's not Ezekiel. It's certainly not the dry bones. It's God. The same God who created faith in you is bringing these dry bones to life, because that's actually what He did to you as dry bones in your baptism, in the hearing of the Word of God, whether it was in your mother's womb before you were born, or it didn't happen until you were baptized. The Word of God is busy and active in you. And the Spirit will not forsake you. And so we rejoice, because God continues to come here and serve you with His Word and His sacraments. He continues to come here and forgive you of your sins and assure you of life in it everlasting. Where there was death, there is now joy. Death has no hold. Where there was chaos, there is now peace. The Son of Man, can these bones live? Yes, they can. Yes, they can. And they do, by the grace of God. So prophesy to the four winds. Prophesy and have the wind enter them. O breath, the breath and breath on the slain, that they may live. Well, our hope for survival may have appeared dead and buried, but God has declared us alive. Alive in Christ. For even death, our final enemy, must surrender before Almighty God. This is the faith passed down from one generation to the next for your hope, not a wish. Hope, which is sure and certain. As every baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, every gospel-delivered sermon is a continuation of Pentecost. For through these, the Holy Spirit brings faith and life eternal in Jesus Christ. On that first Pentecost, the Word of God proclaimed, the working of the Spirit brought around 3,000 to faith. Today, countless more have been granted eternal life. Just as you learned in the small catechism that we cannot believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to Him by our own reason or strength, but that the Holy Spirit has called us by the gospel. We can no more come to faith on our own than the disconnected and very dry bones could pull themselves together and reign and regain life. Yet the Lord and giver of life has accomplished what is impossible for all of us. He has brought you and me to faith in Christ Jesus. And in it is His resurrection life that the Lord and giver of life bestows on you and me. Calling our once non-existence faith into being that we might have life with the Father now and forever. Almighty God, You alone speak the words of eternal life. So cry out, Hosanna, save us, Lord. For we cannot save ourselves. Yet we can say once more this season, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.